Hey guys, I am Veronica Chess and welcome to my podcast. I'm here to talk to you about the tragedy of the commons. Basically, the tragedy of the commons is an economic problem we have as a whole. By whole, I mean country. We start thinking about ourselves and putting our own interests first and start consuming however much we want of that one source, leading to an overconsumption of said resource, which causes scarcity, overinvestment, and huge amounts of competition for that one source, or in our case, multiple resources. To some people, this information may seem boring, but for others, this is rather quite fascinating. Now, whenever people think about the tragedy of the commons, sometimes their mind slips to the thought of who came up with this concept. Thanks to Google, I was able to find the mastermind behind this concept. Well, our genius is ecologist Garrett Hardin. In 1968, Hardin had explored the social dilemma of the tragedy of the commons in his article, The Tragedy of the Common. In the article, Hardin had stated that therein is the tragedy. Each man is locked into a system that compels him to increase his herd without limit in a world that is limited. Ruin is the destination toward which all men rush, each pursuing his own best interests in a society that believes in the freedom of the commons. Hardin, 1968, 1244. What Hardin had meant by this statement is that the tragedy of the commons is a problem that occurs when individuals exploit a shared resource to the extent that demand overwhelms supply and the resource becomes unavailable to all, to some, or to all. Cornell.edu. There are plenty of examples of this concept all around the world, especially in the United States. First off, we have Grand Bank fisheries. For centuries, explorers and fishermen described this region as home to an endless supply of codfish. In the 1960s and 1970s, advances in fishing technology allowed huge catches of cod. By the 1990s, cod populations were so low that Grand Bank fishing industry collapsed. Wildlife.org. Another example is passenger pigeons. When Europeans arrived in North America, passenger pigeons migrated across the sky in huge numbers. In the mid-1800s, they caught massive numbers of pigeons in nets and sold the birds in cities as a food resource. By 1870, nearly all the passenger pigeons had been killed. Hunting limits were enacted in the 1890s, but by that time, the passenger pigeon population couldn't recover. Wildlife.org. Another good example would be bluefin tuna. Bluefin tuna populations have declined severely from overfishing and illegal fishing over the past few decades. Not just Atlantic bluefin tuna, but also Pacific bluefin tuna and Southern bluefin tuna. Population declines have been largely driven by the demand of fish in high-end sushi markets. Wildlife.org. As these problems begin to worsen as time goes by, there's only so much we can do as a community. As a community, we can help each other set down limitations, but there are only so many people that would listen and actually follow through with what they say. That's when we bring in the big guns, our government. First, we could put up imposition of private property rights, meaning we convert common good into private property, giving the new owner an incentive to enforce its suitability and manage to keep everything under control so we can gain back at least some of that stability. Another thing we can do is enforce more government regulation by making non-cooperation costly and cooperation beneficial. Laws such as incentives and taxes can encourage pro-social behaviors and also inhibit negative behaviors. ntu.edu.